having a lovely morning right here in Windhoek. My name is Shaquan, and once again, I have the pleasure and I'm really, really blessed to be having a conversation with the speakers at the IMC conference or the Nedbank IMC conference. And right now we are joined by Craig Shapiro, who's also going to give us a little bit of insight on what we can expect at the IMC conference itself, but then also what he does for a living and also how we can somewhat apply that to our own careers and how we can thrive in our spaces. Craig, I don't want to scare you. So when I was doing a little bit of reading on who Craig Shapiro is, I was like, has he been studying all his life? When does he get rest? That portfolio is long.
Well, that's very kind of you. Thank you very much for having me. It's such a privilege to be part of this conference. It's something I believe very much in. And I think, just the amount of time and effort I've put into this really talks to my curiosity and interest in the subject matter. And I really believe that there's a lot of value to be had and a lot of value I can add, in particular to marketing. I often joke that IP lawyers are failed marketers or weren't creative enough to be marketers. It's wonderful to be able to collaborate and play in this space.
Oh, fantastic. No, I'm pretty sure that your slot is going to be one to remember, if you will. But so to anyone who's listening to us right now, just to give you a little bit of context, obviously you can look him up on your LinkedIn. In fact, connect with him so that you can see what you can learn from him on a daily. But Craig Shapiro is the executive at ENS in the intellectual property practice. You are actually an intellectual property lawyer yourself. How long have you been in this space for, and what is the one thing that still drives you to be passionate about this space still today?
So I've been practicing for 16 years now, and in particular, my focus has been the commercialization and monetization of intellectual property. And really, I love business. I'm absolutely obsessed with business. I devour as many business books and podcasts as I can. And intellectual property has become a major driving force of business. So I think curiosity and a love of learning has really kept me going and kept the flame alight.
So you mentioned that you are very big on podcasts, right? And I have to say, maybe that's the one thing that, okay, maybe other things that we have in common as well. I cannot live without my podcasts. What is the one podcast that you recently listened to that has just been memorable? And with every other conversation that you're having, probably even with your colleagues, maybe with your family at home, you keep making reference to this podcast. What podcast is it?
So I think the podcast that I most recently listened to is an acquired podcast on, interestingly enough, on Rolex, which is not something I was particularly familiar with. But listening to an in-depth knowledge on how these businesses were started. In fact, Rolex became Rolex because the founder of Rolex studied the patent journals that were being published and all the new patent filings until he found a mechanism that could keep pocket watches at the time waterproof and were small enough to wear on the wrist. And that was really the turning point for Rolex and became helped Rolex become that business. And they actually bought the intellectual property. They didn't develop it themselves. I'm always fascinated to find in all the podcasts that I listen to, intellectual property is often a major driving force. And these businesses, these massive businesses that start off small, become big because people really have valued intellectual property and understood how to build it and how to commercialize it.
Makes sense. All right. Oh, by the way, you need to link us a little bit later on with that podcast. I would love to watch it for myself just for the sake of it. You know what I mean? So that I can reference Craig plugged me on this the next
time. I think it is a 5-hour podcast, so it's a bit of a commitment. You might have to break it up. But absolutely, I'd be happy to.
I'll stretch it out throughout the week. Okay. So, Craig, let's get to know you a little bit based on your career, right? We all know that there are so many struggles and so many battles that we have, in our personal lives and sometimes also influence our careers and so forth. What would you say is a sacrifice or a turning point in your career that truly helped you succeed that you rarely talk about?
So I think, A critical moment in my career was at my previous firm. I'd started my own firm, in fact, about 10 years ago, and had built that and became the CEO of the firm took on the role as CEO. Mm-hmm. And during COVID, really, there was this pivotal moment where all the law firms pretty much in the world, but in South Africa, took a view of reducing everyone's salary. And in that moment, our executive team took a hard decision that we were going to really look after our staff. We were going to put them first. We were going to pay them in full. It was considered a foolish step. But at what it taught me was absolutely. But we really prioritized our team. And what it taught me was that if you look after the people around you, they will look after you. And we really built an unbelievable team, an unbelievable firm. And it was based on investing in our team and really trusting them, treating them with respect. And law, like life, is not a solo sport. And I think in law in particular, a lot of people see a single lawyer and think, oh, that person is a great lawyer. But really, it's impossible to practice law in a vacuum. It's so important to surround yourself with quality people, quality teams. And I think the same is true in all businesses and in your personal life. I think building these networks personally and professionally is is really the catalyst for success in all aspects of your life.
Yeah, no, makes sense, honestly. And it actually kind of like taking me to what your talk would actually be at the IMC conference. First of all, from a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you about actually being on a platform like this and sharing your knowledge with the rest of the world?
I'm a 12. Anyone who knows me, I love being on stage.
Okay.
I love this topic. And I believe very much in trying to add value where I'm able to. And I think that I can add value. I think it's something that, you know, the title of my topic is, the things they don't teach you about IP in marketing school.
Yes.
And the truth is they didn't teach these things to me in law school. And so I think that it's quite important to try to share the knowledge that I have. These principles are not complicated. People look at IP as this like foreign branch of law that like no one knows much about.
Could probably not even be intertwined with marketing.
Yeah, well, and exactly. No one really understands what it is, but they all have very strong ideas about what it is. And so just debunking a lot of the myths, just trying to make it simple and understandable so that people can understand, you know, these are the tools of everyone's trade. And in particular in marketing, all you're doing all day is creating intellectual property. And so understanding the framework and the rules can really help you add a lot of value to your job and to your business.
And to your business as well, yes. So speaking of that, actually, I've seen that, which, you know, South African content creators in general are very fortunate that they can actually make a living off of content creating, because obviously the regions are monetized on so many platforms, right? But I think it's really important that they also pay attention to your conversation or your slot at the IMC conference itself, only because there needs to be a shift between IP and marketing as well. But how do you think the two industries can actually collaborate a little bit more?
So, I think, as I said before, I think actually marketing and influencers, they are actually built on intellectual property. So it's not necessarily a collaboration. This is a not negotiable. They need to understand the rules of the game, A, to avoid falling foul of them and ending up in lawsuits. But more importantly, understanding how to monetize it. Because if you're able to live off your creative endeavors, then the world benefits because we get to share to share in your creative works, and you get to benefit because you get to live off it. And so there's an interesting stat that at present about 90% of the value in the S&P 500 is made up of intellectual property, and that has increased about threefold over the last 70 years. We can see an increasing importance in business in the value of IP. And so I think that the question isn't how do we collaborate. The question is, if you don't understand this field and the rules and how intellectual property works you're going to be left behind. Like, this is now a critical part of your business tool understanding and arsenal, same as like having a balance sheet and understanding how to read financials, you need to understand intellectual property. And it's not complicated.
Yeah.
Like, this is the interesting thing. The rules are actually quite simple.
Simple, yeah.
And once you know them, you can easily navigate
yeah,
them.
Yeah, so it's easy to understand and easy to apply as well.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
And the rules apply. The rules that apply in the physical world and the business mm-hmm. world apply to the social media world as well. Mm-hmm. So the rules are quite simple. And very luckily, South Africa is part of like an international harmonization of intellectual property laws. So our laws are the same as pretty much every other country. So once you understand it here, for the most part, you understand how it works everywhere.
Everywhere, yes. So before I just let you go, Craig, you know, just to go out there and be fantastic at your job, a question that I really just want to ask from you is, what are the latest trends in the intellectual property space right now? What are the conversations that they're actually talking about? But maybe perhaps also how it just, you know, aligns with marketing, if any.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of the hot topics are centered around AI.
Mm-hmm.
And presently, or the conversation that's been going on a lot is around copyright, which ironically also feeds into the AI discussion.
Yeah.
And the questions surround are really about the limitations of ownership of copyright has become a very central issue, because that's core to both the AI discussion and the new copyright bill in South Africa.
Yeah.
And so the question is, how much are we willing to allow the free use of copyright online?
Mm-hmm.
And how much should content creators benefit from their creations? And that content is not just social media content, but artistic works, musical works, literary works. And so we're seeing a major confluence of this. And there is a balancing of rights to be had. We want content creators to benefit from their creative works, because that's how the world gets to enjoy music and art and theater and film. But we also have entered a digital age where a lot of this content is being used online, and drawing those limits and those lines has become a very, very contentious issue.
Yeah.
I tend to err on the side of protecting the rights, because I think we all lose out. You know, the whole purpose of intellectual property law was to try and encourage people to share their creative works.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, allow them to benefit commercially. And but that does need to be balanced with the understanding that all creative endeavors result from you know, standing on the shoulders of giants, seeing what other people have done, copying ideas in legal ways, and developing art and industry. And so this tension's existed from the beginning. It's existed for 300 years. It will exist for all the new technologies. And so I don't think AI is a new technology that warrants any special dispensation. I think it was the same when we went digital. I think the same rules should apply. But it'll be interesting to see where we land.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Craig, thank you so much for your time. I think that was insightful itself. And I honestly just got excited about what more you could actually share in your slot. But before I let you go, I have a very important question. I think this is going to be the most important question that I'll ask you for this session. Do pineapples actually belong on pizza?
I mean, this is maybe the most you know, a divisive issue that you could have asked me.
Come on,
I fall on the side of pro pineapple. I know that's the minority view, but I'm pro pineapple.
Okay, then I'm with you. Then at least we have that in common as well.
Brilliant.
Yeah, Craig, thank you so much for your time. All the best with obviously prepping yourself for the IMC conference, but I know that it's going to be insightful, and there's so much that people can actually take away from your conversation. But thank you so much for your time. We're truly grateful.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Such a pleasure.
Awesome. Have a fantastic day, Craig.
Take care.
All right.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.